And let us pray. Gracious Father, in your goodness and mercy, you gave us a great gift. Wrapped in swaddling cloths, laid in a manger, your Son, who came as our rescuer and redeemer, to save his people from their sins. On this most joyous day when we recognize this great gift, send us your Holy Spirit to enliven our hearts and enlighten our minds so that we may receive this gift of good news and these tidings of great joy, the fruit of your goodness. This we pray in the name of him who was born, that we would no more die. Even Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, ever one God, world without end. Amen. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. In the holy and blessed name of Jesus, amen. The Christmas holiday was established to make clear a singular, unambiguous confession. The baby born to Mary, wrapped in swaddling cloths, laid in a manger, is none other than the Son of God, born in human flesh, born in the world as one who brings peace between God and man. This is the meaning of the angelic message spoken to the shepherds that first Christmas. It's the good news of great joy that is for all people. A Savior has been born who is capable of rescuing and redeeming everyone from sin, from death, and from the power of the devil. And as God does nothing in secret, he makes it known and clear even to lowly shepherds in the fields keeping watch over their flocks by night. This will be a sign to you, says the angel. In the city of David you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, laid in a manger. The whole day of Christmas, the whole 12 days of Christmas, is about this fact, that God has sent salvation. He has caused his only begotten Son to be born in human flesh, that he might take upon himself the sins of the world, bear them upon his own shoulders, suffer, die, and rise again for you as the Savior of all mankind. What glorious news indeed. It's no wonder then, when the angelic messengers had left them, the shepherds immediately said, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." So this morning we will join them so that we may see also what the Lord has done and understand why the Lord has made it known to us. When that night the darkness had returned and the heavens were silenced after the angels departed, after the last echo of the heavenly choir had died away, the awestruck shepherds began to regain their senses, and they immediately exclaimed their joy. "Let us go now to Bethlehem," they said. Their desire was to satisfy their mind concerning that good news of great joy which they had just heard. God had declared to them a specific sign, and with bold faith they sought to lay hold of that sign with their own eyes so that their hearts would be strengthened, their faith would be edified, and they would be protected against doubt. Leaving the charge of their sheep in the Lord's hands, they went with rapid steps and arrived at a little village. Guided only by the dim light of the stars and whatever moonlight possibly peeked through the clouds. And finally they arrived at a cave or a little structure, away from everything else, and their eyes beheld a young peasant woman with her husband. In their midst was exactly what was described by the angel, a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, laid in a manger, a feeding trough for animals. That was the child's bed. What a remarkable and specific fulfillment of the angel's words. Who would believe something so unusual, something so strange? Certainly the birth of a child happens many times per day. Many are in humble circumstances, many in places where there are no hospitals, where poverty means using whatever is at hand. But this is in part what makes this birth so strange and unexpected. This was a birth proclaimed by angels, a birth which has cosmic significance. This child merited the proclamation of heavenly messengers, the shining forth of the glory of heaven. Surely the birth of such a child would be in some place less austere, something more grand, more glorious. And yet when the shepherds arrive, there is nothing flashy, there's nothing showy, there's no garland, no tinsel, no twinkling lights, not even carolers standing outside. And contrary to the saccharine popular songs of our day, there was also no little drummer boy standing there. And yet, despite the humility of this birth, this is no ordinary child. The birth of this child had been a constant refrain of God's messengers throughout time. God himself spoke of this birth when he declared, "The seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent." It would remove the curse brought into the world by the forked-tongued deceiver. Through the centuries, this promise echoed, sometimes more loudly, sometimes more softly. It sustained the faithful who clung to it in the darkness. It was knowledge of that promise that caused a man named Noah to find favor in the eyes of God in some of the darkest days of the earth. Noah knew this promise. He held it tightly in his heart, even when all the world had forgotten or rejected it. They had rejected God. They had devolved into all manner of sin and vileness, so that the Lord was required to act decisively, so that faith in the coming Savior would not be blotted out entirely. God sent a flood to wipe out all mankind from the earth, but Noah found favor in the eyes of God, because he saw God's kindness and mercy. He held on to the promise. He didn't seek to rebel or give in to the basest passions and desires of his flesh. He held tightly to the promise of God, and so God saved him and his family in the ark through the flood. When he stepped out of that ark, he bowed down and worshiped at the altar with God's bow of blessing shining brightly overhead. From his household, the earth would be repopulated, and through his son, Shem, would be born Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, names we're all familiar with. They would receive this promise, "In you and in your offspring," God would say, "all the peoples of the earth will be blessed." From Jacob would come Judah, the patriarch of the kings, those who would reign over God's people while they occupied the land of promise. From Judah would be born David, whose skill on the lyre gives us the psalms which everywhere proclaim the coming of this child. The prophets also proclaim this promise of his coming, increasing the reach of this sacred message, until finally, one dark night, early in the wee hours of the morning, God sends bright angelic messengers to lowly shepherds gathered in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night, to declare to them that it has come to pass. "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." With this background, we can see clearly this is no ordinary child. This is a child long promised by God. This is the deliverer, the Messiah foretold for centuries. And in the manger, the shepherds gaze upon the face of God, which would otherwise be impossible. Even in that tiny form, even in such apparent weakness, suckling at Mary's breast, needing to be wrapped in swaddling cloths in order to protect him from the cold, cruel world he came to save, he is the manifestation of God on earth. This baby is God incarnate, the very God of heaven, born in human flesh. He is whose praises we now sing. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity. pleased as man with man to dwell, Jesus, our Emmanuel. His very existence is a gift. The angels proclaimed, unto you is born this day. He didn't come to display his majesty or demand our obedience. He came to win our release. Release from our captivity to sin, which separates us from God. Release from our bondage to self-seeking and self-serving. Releasing us from our rebellious delusion that we know better than God what is good and what makes for a good life. The one who created us did not leave us to fend for ourselves when we were sheep gone astray. He came to rescue us, to redeem us, to bring us back to himself, to suffer and die to win us back from everything that keeps us captive and separates us from him. This is why Jesus is the bright light that shines in the darkness of this season. Not a light that gives light to the world, not a light that announces sales or parties and gifts. A light that shines in the darkness of our hearts to illumine our reality to the truth. Our hearts are full of darkness. The world itself is full of darkness, distraction, diversion from the truth. And these diversions and distractions are not enough. We need a light that shines that cannot be overcome by the greed and selfish cares of evil. We need a light that cannot be overcome by fear, by doubt, by misery or sorrow, or even death. A light that cannot be overcome by sin and cannot be extinguished by the devil. Jesus is that light, the light that has come into the world that no darkness can overcome. And there he was, wrapped in swaddling cloths, laid in a manger. The life that is the light of man, bearing the name that is above all names. God comes in the flesh to rescue and redeem our flesh from sin, from death, and from every form of evil, including our bondage and captivity to the devil and our own sinful desires. This is what we behold in the manger. Now that we know what to find there, we ask, why has the Lord made this known to us? The answer brings us to the very essence of the Christian faith. In fact, it's a surprising thing to know that Christmas was not actually part of the early church's liturgical calendar. The church didn't celebrate Christmas for some 250 years after Pentecost. Now, it wasn't some grand conspiracy, and no, despite what you might see on the History Channel, Constantine did not create the celebration of Christmas at the Council at Nicaea. The actual history is a little more mundane, as it usually is. The church has always believed that Jesus is the divine Son of God, born in human flesh, and the church has always held that truth dearly. In the early days, the people knew well that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Well, they knew until a false teacher named Arius came along and convinced many in his day of something different. There wasn't a clear need to make an obvious big deal about Christmas. It became taken for granted. It was thought everybody knows Jesus is God born in human flesh. But in a fallen world that is prone to forget God and his goodness, even within the church, this assumption quite nearly led to catastrophe. The devil sowed lies, sought to undermine the truth of God with false teaching. And as was the case with Noah, God reacted. And he put a stop to the devil's plan. He caused the church to redouble its efforts, proclaiming clearly the truth of God's Son born in flesh to save mankind, because this is the heart of God's rescue and salvation. It's the heart of the gospel, the Christian faith itself, Because unless God himself acts for us and on our behalf, we are lost and condemned forever. The lived history of the church shows the necessity of a constant, bold proclamation of what God has revealed to be true. God's word reveals God's work, and it is the bedrock of our faith. The shepherds also make clear to us this proclamation as the antidote to doubt, to disbelief, which dwells in every human heart. The shepherds heard the words of the angel about good news for all people, a Savior born. But then they acted. They acted to build up their faith so that they could lay hold of this good news and cast down doubt and disbelief which would arise in their hearts. Let us go to Bethlehem to see this thing which has come to pass, they said to one another, not content to merely believe the truth in their heart, whatever that means. We find something significant about this action, human nature, divine work. God has often acted in time and space, and man wasn't obviously aware of it. After all, he is the Almighty who raises up nations. He is the one who deposes rulers. God himself sets the boundaries of peoples and nations. He establishes and marks out the boundary of the seas. So much for global warming and sea rising. He is always at work upholding the world, giving it continued existence. The vast majority of his activity is unknown and unseen by us because we are simply ignorant human beings. It passes by our awareness entirely. He works in this way because he loves us. He continues to care for us and preserve us. He keeps us, always desiring that we would come to know his love and his care, his mercy and his grace. But in the wickedness of our hearts, we're prone to think he's unloving and uncaring. Knowing that we have often disobeyed, knowing that we've often done what is evil in his sight, we know that he has every reason to hate us, despise us, that we deserve his wrath and eternal condemnation and punishment. Yet, there in the manger is another word, another message. Good news of great joy for all people. God has given us a Savior, one who redeems, one who takes upon himself the punishment we deserve. Therefore, in order to convince us, to transform our thinking on the matter, God declares this to us in a way that upends our fear and anxiety. After all, a young child does not bring with him the wrath and condemnation of God. An infant, clearly dependent upon the love and care of his mother and father for survival, that's no threat. And yet this is God Almighty in human flesh. See how much he loves you. See how much he desires to save you and not destroy you. See how much he intends to bless you and not harm you. It is precisely because of this innocuousness that the good news needs to be announced and proclaimed. No one's going to look at a child and see the Savior of the world otherwise. God, veiled in human flesh, looks like every other infant. There was nothing obvious or apparent about the reality of his divinity. Even the signs and wonders that Jesus did to convince many during his lifetime failed to convince them completely. Unless God, in a clear and obvious way, pointed to the truth and declared it, that this child is the fulfillment of the promise, nobody would know. Nobody would care. Nobody would receive him. And the work would be for nothing. So the Lord sends forth messengers to the shepherds to tell them of this good news of great joy. And today he causes this news to be spread to every corner of the earth. The curse is broken. The prisoners once held in bondage to sin, sitting under the shadow of death, have been freed. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. The baby wrapped in swaddling cloths was a sign that it had come to pass, that the one proclaimed by the angels was there in the city of promise, fulfilling what had been spoken of by the prophets long ago. The prophets of old, like Micah, who declared he would be born in Bethlehem, or the prophet like Isaiah, who spoke of the virgin birth, proclaiming the coming of this child, and all of the psalms singing of his coming everywhere. And now you have heard. You know, so that you too may have faith, so that you would believe in his name and receive the joy of this most holy day for yourself. Now you know, so that you may lay hold of the promise of God's salvation, which he has worked for you. And now you know, so that you will recognize the Lord of creation. You will know his great love, which caused him to come and rescue and save you. He has accomplished his purposes to redeem you. Joy to the world. The Lord is come. Let earth receive her king, and let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. In the holy and blessed name of Jesus. Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and keep your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.